Please help me welcome our first speaker, JRS from Coway, Arkansas.
It's Conway.
Conway, my bad, man.
I'm JR. I'm an addict.
Hey, JR.
I know. They gave me a topic of a vision of hope. I'm not a speaking person normally, you know, unless we're talking one-on-one. But a vision of hope, it says, learning about acceptance, love, and compassion helps us to accept ourselves without conditions. As our faith deepens, our understanding of what it means to act in good faith changes. I know that it talks about in the reading about when you got here and how everything changes. You know, the only thing I was told to change was everything when I got here. You know, when I got here, I had nothing at all. You know, I had a job, but it was because I had an individual that was a family-oriented business that seen something in me that I didn't. I come into the meetings. I didn't even have a driver's license. I didn't have anything. I got here. I did what was suggested. At that time, I didn't work very much. So I did, the 90 and 90 meetings was nothing. We had like 3 or 4 meetings a day where I live. So 90 and 90, I had nowhere else to be, so that's what I did, was meetings. I got a sponsor, I worked steps. I learned about me before I tried to learn about somebody else. And it's funny, the topic is because the group that we're from in Conway, Arkansas is the Vision of Hope, is the name of the group. So, then it talks about in here gratitude for events that happen in your life, as in good and bad. You know, when I first got here, 9 months clean, I got my license and stuff back because I got blown up in a brush fire. So I was burnt from like the center of my face to the tips of my fingers on one side, and I couldn't work because I do plumbing work is what I do. So I couldn't have that and work. So they gave me the insurance company. I wasn't even at work. I was at a different job, but my insurance company still paid. So they gave me a lump sum of money. Except for doing what I normally would do with it, I went and paid my stuff off and I got a driver's license. I've also, with the job that I do, I've also did 4 years of school since I've been here. You know, the vision of hope is, you know, my sponsor always says, you know, we're the smartest people in the world. The only people that don't know it is us. And I've proven that to myself because I've had nothing. And so when I first got here, I started making money and doing stuff. You know, I didn't spend. I didn't do anything with it because of I had nothing at one time. So I was afraid that I would have nothing again. So I got a sponsor, worked steps, learned who I was. And it talks about feelings and emotions. I have 16 years clean. I still don't have the emotions and feelings under wrap, you know, because of for the longest time I didn't feel anything, or I've never felt it. So it was a hard thing for me to do. Is I've had a lot of success through the program. I've had a lot of, not really setbacks, but things happen in the program in the last 7 years probably. Within 5 of those, my main supporters my main people that I had in my life at that time, from the get-go, I lost my mother in a horrible car accident. I lost my father from cancer, and I lost my youngest brother from suicide, from depression. But through those two, is the positive parts of that is when my father was diagnosed with cancer, I was there in the room with him when he was diagnosed. Through all of his treatment and stuff, I live in Arkansas, he lives in Wisconsin. So through all of his treatment and everything, I was there because of the job I had and the people that I worked with, because some of the people that had faith in me hired me to do work. So they knew what was going on, and they allowed me, as long as I wanted to, or as long as I needed to go take care of what I needed to take care of. So I was also the last person to hold my father's hand when he took his last breath. My mother, I was the only person who lived in Arkansas of our siblings. So I was the person that showed up to my door while I was at work and told me to come home, where they can tell me that my mom was killed in a car accident in this town, and they couldn't tell me nothing about it, but give me a card and tell me to call the county that she was actually died in. But I was also able to be the person that called all the family and let them know when I could control myself, or not control myself, but my emotions. Because at first I couldn't talk. That's the person I lived with my whole life. That was my number one. My brother, I have the credit history and stuff that I have today because of my brother. He might be my youngest, but he always liked to help everybody. So he put me on a card, and he got like a card that's always been paid. I've also been bad things. I learned how to divorce somebody because I come in the program also, and you know, we learn, we adapt. So I got married for the first time ever after I come in the program. I had a little bit of time. She didn't have much. Our first date was a hotel room, you know, kind of thing. I don't know how many months later, we were married. Then it took 5 years to get rid of her. We were done before the first year, but I've never been married or nothing. I never knew how to divorce anybody. I didn't. So my luck, she got arrested because she was still doing what she used to do. And the people that I worked for was also the people out of the program. And they showed me that on the lease, like page 4 or whatever, that if she was arrested for this, she didn't have to sign nothing. She could just be took off the lease. So, you know, I've learned. It talks about emotions and stuff in the program. That's one of the things I got back. I got feelings and emotions back. It's a good thing and it's a bad thing. Because today I don't know how to do all of them. So most of my things that I do is I joke about everything. Is, you know, something happens or whatever, sometimes it's inappropriate, but I'm like, oh yeah, yeah. But I also, it surprised me the other day, because I do, but I don't think of myself that way, because I still have that thought over here of I'm not worthy of, because today I said I come from nothing. Today I own a business, I have service trucks, I'm here, my guys are working in Conway, you know. The truck I drive outside, I just bought like a couple months ago maybe, or not even a couple months, like a month ago at the most. The tractor I bought just the other day. So, you know, I have things. I also have a lot. I love giving back. Auctions are my favorite thing anymore because I have. So we've gone to so many things throughout the years. And then since we've been married, my wife, my current wife, and my forever wife, She's so amazing. But since we've been married, you know, now we have double of everything. So I have 3 walk-in closets of nothing but NA t-shirts. You know, I have a cabinet in my living room of nothing but stuff from the old Basic Texas to numbered books to pictures, plaques, different things that you buy at all the auctions. My wife makes for Arkansas and some of the places around. She makes those NA t-shirt blankets. So if you need one, you know, she's a lady. We do a lot of them for the conventions, or she does. But I know the vision of hope is what I was saying earlier. I'm sorry, I'm jumping around. But what I was saying earlier is I didn't think of myself that way. Is I went to Walmart, and I was coming out of Walmart going through, and my family thinks that everybody knows who I am because I do over 500 properties and stuff in the towns I live in and everything. And a lot of them are rental properties. But I come out of the store, and this lady was like, "Hey." And she waved at me and everything, and she was talking to her husband, and she's like, "Yeah, he comes over and fixes our stuff. You know, he's done work for us." And he said, "Man, I remember him because, like, he's the most pleasant person to be around. He's the most, like, I get to know the people, even though they're rental properties and stuff, I get to know the people that I go into. You know, I joke around with them. We talk about, like, my family is my life today. It used to be service work. I've been everything from chair, treasurer, everything of the meeting to our area. I've been everything from outreach to the chair of our area in Central Arkansas. I've been treasurer in training for a very short amount of time because of the money situation. I didn't like it. So, and then I became the vice chair for 2 years of region of the state of Arkansas. So I've done all those things. But the thing I've done the most is I've stayed clean. I have an amazing family. I've never had any kids. I have a 7-year-old today. Where, yeah. That then I have a, I married into, I have a 14-year-old son that has like ADD and compulsive disorder and all those things. And then I have a 14-year-old or 13-year-old daughter. I have a 23-year-old them, you know, and then their significant other that just graduated college. So I have one in second grade now, and then I got one that's already graduated college. Everybody else is in between. I have an amazing life. We go do whatever. My wife, you know, there's an NA cruise coming in like January or whatever. We're already booked for that. But since my wife went on the last one, we've been on this year. We've been on like 2 or 3. I've been on 2. She's been on 3. We're going again in November because, you know, she's like every few months we need to hit a cruise. I don't know why. So I'm like, okay. And we do that stuff. But the vision of hope is, you know, I talk about all this stuff because from this program, that's what I've got. You know, it's not promised that I'm going to get all this stuff. It's not promised that I'm going to own a business and all that. But it promises that I have a daily reprieve. And all the other stuff just comes with it. You know, it's how I act, how I treat people, and everything is what I get. I never graduate. I try to carry the message. Like I said, I did outreach. They're trying to get me to do outreach for the state of Arkansas. I don't know if I want to do that. That's a lot of traveling, and I have a family today. You know, when I first got here, like I said, I had nothing. I had no family, no wife, stuff. The funny thing about me and my wife being married is the guy sitting there in the yellow hat, the guy that married us is for the program. He knew both of us. He is my best man. So the pastor, Jimmy McGill, most people know, from TV and all that kind of stuff, he's our friend. He's also in the program. He married us. We're standing next to each other, and he married him to my wife before he married me to my wife. Then we didn't let him live it down for a couple years, you know, because we know each other. We go to a lot of the same things. So, But you know, I could do stuff like that. Vision of Hope is, I have a friend that's been in and out of prison for the last 13 years for drugs, everything. And today on the side, well, he got a welding job just recently, but on the side, he's been working for me. You know, he's been clean for over 3 years. He's changed his life. He don't do NA, but he does what he does, you know. As long as it's recovery-based, I don't care. And the vision of hope is, you know, we can do anything we want to do. I can be anything I want to do. I work for three different places. I do 500 properties one. I do 500 properties another. Because I work for the county and all that kind of stuff. So I work for so many real estate agents. I got here late yesterday because I've had a gas leak in a town. And since I'm the master plumber, I had to be there until all the inspections passed and everything. But in the town it was in, there's like nothing there. So I had to travel from Morrilton, Russellville area, all the way to Little Rock to get parts. And so it took me 3 days. And then we were supposed to leave at 10 to noon. And we didn't leave till like 2-3 o'clock because the Summit gas, it's got to be this way, that way, you know. But I know the vision of hope is us. You know, the vision of hope is the newcomer sitting in the room to the old timer sitting in the room and everybody in between. Because, you know, if it wasn't for us being a newcomer at one time, we can't be an old timer either, you know. It just takes one day at a time. I don't know how long I've been up here, but I'm done rambling. That's all I have.
Thank you. Please help me welcome our next speaker, Sherry W. from Memphis, Tennessee.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I am Sherry, and I am an addict.
Hey, Sherry.
And JR, thank you so much for speaking and sharing and giving away what was so freely given to us. I want to thank Angie for giving me a call and giving me the opportunity to come and share and give away. You know, that's what we do here. We get it from other people, and then we give it to other people. You can't keep what you have unless you give it away. That's what I was taught. And also, I'd like to thank the committee for putting on this convention. A big hand for the convention and all the work that it takes to do that. So when Angie told me that my topic was going to be a vision of hope, I immediately thought of step two, because the main spiritual principle of step two is hope. And I just wanted to read something from the It Works, How and Why on page 20. It's a short paragraph, but it says, "We start to develop faith through the process of coming to believe. It starts with hope. For some of us, this may be only a faint spark at first. Perhaps just the thought that maybe, if we work this program, our lives will get better. Our hope turns to faith as our lives begin to improve. For many of us, faith can be described as a belief in something intangible. After all, who can logically explain the sudden lifting of an obsession to use drugs? Yet this has happened for many of us. With our hope for a better life and the beginnings of our faith, that recovery is possible. We start the process of coming to believe in a power greater than ourselves." So I'd like to say that I started using at the age of 13, and at the age of 33, my whole world was crashing down. At the end of my using, I was left with absolutely nothing inside. I didn't know the person that I looked at in the mirror. I couldn't look myself in the eye. I thought I was the worst, most despicable human being on the planet. I pictured myself in a gutter. I had a high bottom. I didn't lose my job. I didn't lose my kids. I didn't lose my house. But on the inside, I lost everything. And I was just a shell of a person. I was what, for years, I was whatever you wanted me to be. I said whatever you wanted me to say. You know, I adapted and changed. I stole, cheated, lied, sold myself. Whatever I had to do for that next drug, I was willing to do it. And the funny thing is that when I first started trying drugs, you know, I told myself, oh, I'll never do that. Oh, I'll never do that. I'll never do that. And every time I drew a line in the sand, I crossed over it. I compromised every principle I had, every moral I had, and it all came crashing down. And my clean day is April 26, 1993, and I'm so grateful for that. And my first meeting, I was scared to death. I sat and shook and cried. I couldn't say anything. I was so full of shame and guilt, and I couldn't. It was hard for me to look anybody else in the eye. My marriage fell apart, and I had two little kids, and I'm a professional. I thought that if I tried to seek help, that I would lose my job, my license, you know, and all of those thoughts going through my head kept me from getting help for a long time. Even though I knew I had a problem for a long time, that kind of stuff just scared me, and I was afraid that I would lose everything if I admitted that I had a problem. Little did I know that the first step to getting help is to admitting that I have a problem. If I don't admit I have a problem, I'm not looking for a solution. So after, you know, coming, it took me three meetings to pick up a white key tag, because I was still in so much denial at my first meeting. And just picking up that key tag and starting to get hugs from people in the rooms and people telling me to keep coming back gave me that little tiny itty-bitty glimmer of hope that things could start changing for me. I had to follow directions in here. They call them suggestions. I call them directions. Because, you know, in active addiction, I didn't even have to know your name to follow directions. Show me how to do it. I'll do it. Tell me where to be. I'll be there. You know, keep me on a string. Let me page you. Let me call you. Let me go from phone booth to phone booth and drive here and park for you to call me to tell me to come to the next location. I'll do it. Sell my body. I'll do it. You know, whatever it took, I was willing to do that. So why would I come into this program and think that I could just do just a smidgen of what you tell me? Well, okay, you're giving me 10 directions, but I only want to take two. You know, so they told me if I put half the effort into staying clean that I did into using, I could stay clean just for today. And so, you know, I came in here and I had to be willing. But the first thing I had to do was get honest, right? Because that's the main spiritual principle of the first step is honesty. So I had to admit I had a problem and become willing to listen to what you had to tell me, follow directions, and apply things that you told me to do in my life. And the more I did that, y'all, the more I did that, the more I started having hope. And, you know, and in the second step, it says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. You know, and once somebody explained that insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, I didn't have a problem with the word insanity anymore, because I had done that so many times. But I couldn't see it because I was like, well, this time I'll switch it up. I'll eat before I use. And then I won't get so fucked up that, you know, I put myself and everybody else in danger. Or I won't fall asleep while my kids are crawling around on the floor. Or, you know, I won't turn around to make sure I put them in the back seat in their car seat instead of up on the roof of the car. Or, you know, I mean, my life was insane. And, you know, I had to look at the unmanageability that using caused in my life in order to find out that, yes, I didn't just use for 20 years socially. It was actually a problem for me. once I came to terms that I actually had a problem and I needed a solution, and that y'all had the solution, and if I listened to it and applied it in my life, things could get better, there I started having hope. So, you know, I won't go all the way through the steps, but that is where the hope lies. That is where the change lies. Each step has a main spiritual principle to it, and we learn as we go through the steps to start having more and more faith in a God of our understanding, whatever you call that God. I love Narcotics Anonymous and all 12-step programs, because whatever I want to call my God, I can call it that. Whatever you want to call your God, you can call it that. But it's, you know, a power greater than me. And, you know, my God is loving, forgiving, and caring. And I don't feel ashamed anymore. I can look myself in the eye today. I can look other people in the eye today. I can open myself up and become vulnerable with other people. I don't keep secrets anymore. Our secrets keep us sick, and they die in the light of exposure. And what I come to know, the light of exposure, is opening my mouth and spitting it out. My first sponsor used to tell me, there's a lot more room out here than there is in here. And this is where my disease lives, right here between my ears. So, I'm the type of addict, I get a thought, and it snowballs and snowballs and snowballs until I open up my mouth and I say it out loud, and then it loses its power over me. That's what I've been taught. That's what I've applied. And that's what I know. And I have faith in that. And that right there is something that is one big powerful tool of this program that helps keep me clean on a daily basis. I want to say that, like, so I have this book that I've read more than a few times, and it's one of my favorite books. It's not an NA literature, but I just want to tell you about one of the stories in the book, and that is this beggar that sits on a box every day, and he's begging for money. He thinks he's, you know, he thinks he's nothing. He thinks he's not worthwhile. He has nothing. He owns nothing. But every day he sits on this box and he begs for money or food because he can't eat without it. And one day this man comes along and he asks, what's in the box? And the beggar says, I don't know. I've never opened the box. And he says, well, let's open the box. And they open the box, and inside the box is tons of treasure, jewels and money and treasures. And the beggar sat on the box every day for years and never knew that it was inside. And the box is me. The box is me. And for years, I sat on that box, and I never knew about the treasure inside of me. And Narcotics Anonymous and the steps and working steps with a sponsor helped open up my box to see what kind of treasure is inside of me. And I know today that that box, me, is full of treasures, and it doesn't have to be full of deceit and lies and conning and manipulation and self-torture and beating myself down or other people down. As long as I have spiritual principles and I know that at any time I am subject to revert to my sickest behavior, even without using a drug, and that the only thing that can save me from that is remembering that I can call on my higher power or God and ask for help not to act out on that sickest behavior and instead apply a spiritual principle. But I can't do it if I don't go through the steps and I don't learn about myself. I don't learn about my defects. I don't learn about all my character flaws, my assets, and I don't learn about the spiritual principles of this program and what it has to offer. I can't call on God and ask, okay, I want to lie. And if I don't know what the opposite of lying is, then I can't say, help me apply this spiritual principle of honesty. See what I mean? And I'm so glad that Narcotics Anonymous helped reveal and helped me to be able to open up the inside of me to find out what treasures lying inside. And then I'm so grateful to my sponsor for helping nurture that along. And everyone that I meet in Narcotics Anonymous helps me with that. Every time somebody shares their experience, strength, and hope, that is reinforced. And the only other thing I want to say is that every single time since I've been clean that I've gone through adversity of any kind, which I have done a lot. I got divorced in Narcotics Anonymous, filed bankruptcy in Narcotics Anonymous, lost a house in Narcotics Anonymous. I lost my mom and my dad since being clean, but I didn't have to do it alone. People in here and the God of my understanding and the program of Narcotics Anonymous has given me hope on a daily basis, even clean when I felt like I was feeling hopeless once again. All I had to do was come to a meeting and say, I feel so hopeless. I feel like my world is crumbling before my eyes again, clean. And people scooped me up and hugged me. And that's one reason why hugs are so important to me. That physical contact between people, that warmth, that embrace, that I got you, that we give each other in here. And people showed up for me and held my hand when I needed it held and held me when I needed to be held and called me and checked on me. And, I always, before coming to Narcotics Anonymous, I wouldn't let people do that. I thought I had to be strong. I thought I had to, be self-sufficient. And we all know now self-sufficiency is a lie. So I keep coming back because I need you guys in my life. I need the God of my understanding in my life. And I need to also give what I've been so freely given in this program back to you guys. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you both for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us. Let us circle.